Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
We have the expectation to win now. 2018, I think we just surprised everyone. You know, we were just happy to be there again after going through a rebuild. 19, you know, just didn't work out for us. 20, we had Ronald was a little banged up. Ozzy was a little banged up, but we still got one game from the World Series. And this year, even though we lost Ronald in July, we've played with this group that we have right now for the last 2 months, and it's been a whole different team. I feel like we're just set up very nicely to go into this, and we expect to win.
Expect to win, baby. You tell him, Freddie Freeman. Welcome to the Buck Belue Show on this Friday here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. See, we got Nerney ready to go. Nerney, you're a baller, man. Most valuable player a couple of times this week already. Glad you're back in here today. Jordan D'Armond in with us today. Jordan, how's it going?
It's Friday.
I didn't bring the championship ring again today.
I'm telling you, keep it at home until at least Georgia Tech week.
I'm fired up about these Braves today.
Playoff time.
Ready for game one. All right, we heard from Freeman. We expect to win the series he's talking about. Let's hear from Snitker. He's ready for Charlie to take the ball in game one.
You know, that's why we got Charlie. You know, it's different. I mean, Ian's a year older. Max, Charlie, you know, Noah's come a long way since then. And it was, you know, it was pretty much last year we were just putting together, piecing it together literally for, you know, thank God it was only 60 games. But this year, you know, feel good.
Feeling good, baby. Yes, sirree. By the way, you can hear the NLDS on the Fan app, crystal clear, wherever you might be. You might want to listen there if you're not going up to Milwaukee to check it out. The Braves have a viewing party at the Battery Atlanta, and that will take place this afternoon. It is going on the Plaza Green at the Battery Atlanta here. They're going to open things up. It will begin 30 minutes before game time. You got a meet and greet with Braves alumni. You got photo ops with the 2021 NL East Championship pennant. Bloopers going to be hanging around. Maybe Bobby Uecker might be showing up, too. You never know about these things, who might show up. So here we go, dude. Hooters, by the way. We got some tickets we're going to give away at Hooters this afternoon. So you might want to head to Hooters Cumberland and be the lucky winner there. Nerney, I think I'm ready now for the big take.
Bucks. Big take.
The Atlanta Braves are apparently huge underdogs in the NLDS. One baseball site, FanGraphs, had 26 of 28 staff members pick this series, and 26 of them took the Brewers. 26 out of 28 took the Brewers, despite the fact the Brewers stumbled down the stretch. How about this for Milwaukee since September the 1st? These dudes are 14 and 15. They've got a losing record. The last 14 games, the Brew Crew, 4 and 10. And now the Brewers are apparently just going to flip the switch because it's postseason time and kick the Braves' butt. These prognosticators and analysts are betting on the early season Brewers to show up in this series. And I don't believe that's going to happen. What do I believe? The Braves get a split in Milwaukee. We come home to Truist Park and take two straight to close out the series. Braves in four.
All right, go Braves.
You heard it here first. So, Jordan, man, I know you're fired up about the Georgia game. What about the Bravos here?
I'm excited. I think they're going to go up there. I think that they're going to win in four.
Oh, so I thought me and DeRosa were the only ones picking the Braves.
I just feel good about this team. I think the amount of adversity that they face throughout the season, I think it's going to come in the playoffs, and they're going to be able to handle anything that's thrown at them.
Yeah, and Nerney, what do you make of this Brewers faltering down the stretch here? I gave you the numbers. They have not played a winning brand of baseball here the last month of the season.
Well, and that's so much of Major League Baseball is really, it's not who performed the best during the season. It's really who got hot at the right time. And
absolutely.
You know, I thoroughly enjoy the numbers that we're putting up power-wise. And I think that's what the playoffs is all about. It's about 1- and 2-run home runs, 3-run home runs, drawing a walk, getting guys on. It's not necessarily about small ball. And I think our lineup is pretty solid.
Yeah, I sort of like the fact everybody's picking the Brewers. As if they're, as I mentioned, they're just going to flip the switch and suddenly get back to playing like they did in May and June.
Me walking.
Give me a break here. Do you want tickets to the huge Game 3 on Monday? The Fan, ready for the postseason, throwing a huge rally and viewing party today at Hooters Cumberland, and we're blowing it out right down the street from the ballpark with a live broadcast of Nick and Chris as we get ready for Game 1. Then stick around until the beginning of Game 1 for your chance to score some tickets to the Braves' Monday game right here in Atlanta. So you don't want to miss the party today at Hooters Cumberland. And this is going to get complicated. Not today. It'll be easy to, well, complicated for me today. We've got high school football we've got to get to tonight. So let's see, a 4:37 start. Yeah, I might be able to see some of the game. Now, tomorrow is when it really gets complicated. The Braves, Game 2 of the Brewers, tomorrow, 5:07 first pitch. So let me see. Georgia kicks off. Auburn, 3:30.
What are you going to do?
That's going to be tough. I'm going to do, I guess what I always do, I'm going to be flipping. You know, I've got that controller in my hand. Man, we're going from one to the other. Or we're going to have like the Georgia game on in one room. We'll have the Braves game on in the kids' TV room, which is right next to the family room. So I'll be able to position myself and see both at the same time.
Maybe Stetson will have the dogs up by 21 and you won't have to flip back as much.
Well, I'm hoping for the best, but I was saying it earlier this week. I've got a lot of people saying, why don't you like Stetson Bennett? And I do. I respect Stetson Bennett, the path that he's taken to get where he is right now. I enjoy watching him play the game. He's played, for the most part, really well when he's gotten the opportunity. But see, as a member of that 1980 national championship team, I'm sort of burnt out on people saying we need to win another one. And so I'm totally focused on that. Isn't that what the Bulldog Nation wants? Another national championship. This
Please.
Is what you want.
Please.
You want this. And so to get that, I believe you got to have JT Daniels at quarterback. I'm not sure we can get there.
But I look at some of the Alabama teams, and not that Stetson's a game manager, but I look at some of the Alabama teams and the championships they brought in with, I would say, more mediocre guys, and they were able to do it. They had a good defense back then, and this defense is the best in the country.
Yeah, and I think the game has moved on a little bit from the ground and pound. Let's play great defense. In 2021 now, you got to be able to score the ball, as they say in basketball. You got to put huge points on the scoreboard. So I think you need a quarterback that can unlock that passing game, do some damage with the passing game. You got to be able to have some balance when you play these good defenses. So you got to be able to do both. And I'm just not so sure, based on what we saw a year ago, that the passing game, not what it should be, unless JT Daniels is in there. That's just me. I'm hoping for the best, though, and looking forward. Tomorrow afternoon should be fun, man. We'll have Bulldogs and Tigers going at it, and then also the Braves and Brewers shaking down right there, too, man. So a busy day coming up tomorrow in sports. It's going to be fantastic. All right, we've got a big show planned today. So glad you're with us. The Buck Belue Show, sponsored by Wellstar Health System. 10 o'clock hour on The Fan, brought to you by the Haug Law Group. And if you missed the show, remember, you can catch the Buck Belue Show podcast a little later in the day. So let's get this thing rolling, man. Coming up next, I got Braves legend Dale Murphy's going to hang out. Murph, talking Braves baseball, coming up next here on the Buck Belue Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
You basically work your whole life to get to a point where you can do something like perform in a big game, and someone gives you the ball, and you know you're looking in the mirror going, man, I don't know if I can do it. That question's been answered.
Yes, sir, Charlie Morton can do it. He can shut them down. In fact, we're counting on it today. First pitch coming up, Braves and Brewers this afternoon, 4:37. Get the lead in right here on 680 The Fan with the pregame shows. We'll get you ready for game number one of the NLDS. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11. And occasionally I'm able to wheel some, like, Hall of Famers in here, legends, come and be a part of the show, and today is no different. So thrilled to have one of my favorite all-time Braves, Dale Murphy. Murph coming on the show today. And, Murph, we appreciate you taking time to be with us. How's the family, and are you guys ready to pull on the Braves today?
Absolutely. Everybody's doing great. Thanks, Buck, and thanks for having me on. I'm really excited about this team. I love this, what has happened this year, and can't wait for this series to start this afternoon.
Dale, we are pretty much underdogs when you look across at all these analysts and prognosticators have picked the Brewers for the most part. Do you think the players pay attention to any of that?
I think so. I think we all know one of the biggest motivators is a perceived or real lack of respect. You know, I think that's motivating. And I think they probably know it. I think they probably understand it because of the way the season went. But this is the kind of team, the Braves are the kind of team, and they've had that kind of season that they can go really deep. I'm not making any predictions, but, you know, I think their state of mind, the way they finished the season, what they've done during this year with the changes and losing Acuna, the whole thing. Well, first of all, it's going to be one of the most memorable seasons for me of all their championship years. I mean, it's incredible. This is an unreal year, what they've done. You know, people look at the Dodgers and the Giants winning, you know, over 100 games. But I just think the way this team played, what they did, and their frame of mind, and going into this thing as underdogs, it's a good place to be because, you know, well, we got Charlie Morton going tonight. I mean, he can shut down anybody, you know. So I just really like this team. The whole organization did an incredible job replacing everybody. We've got a good mix of veterans, young players, the whole thing. It's like playing with house money, Buck. I think I'm really interested to see what happens.
Yeah, I was mentioning a moment ago, the Brewers really stumbled down the stretch to end the regular season. Their last 14 games, they were 4-10. Since September the 1st, they're 14-15. Can you flip the switch, Murph, when the postseason shows up?
I think you can at the professional level, but it's always better. You know, it's always better to go 10-4 your last 14.
Yeah.
It's just like anything else. You want to get on a good roll. You want to be playing well. And, you know, you look for every advantage, and that's, you know, one advantage the Braves have. The Eastern Division was kind of different this year, but they just hung on and hung on and hung on and made, you know, trade deadline, getting Soler, all the moves they've made. I think they're just on the upswing, you know, just going in the right direction. And, I think it's going to be real easy to overlook the Braves. You know, like you say, they're going to be underdogs. But, you know, I really like our chances. And I think getting Milwaukee in the first round is a good draw, too. So I'm really positive.
Braves legend Dale Murphy joins us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Murph, they're facing two outstanding starters in Milwaukee in Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff, really tough cats. Did your approach change when you got into the postseason when you're facing these top pitchers, or was it the same approach that you had all season long?
You're probably going to go, everybody's got the advanced scouts that'll watch the teams the last month of the season. And with video the way it is now, I'm sure everybody's watched plenty of video on these guys. I wouldn't imagine too many different approaches at the plate. With each pitcher, there is a different mindset, you know, on what his strength is and what you're going to do. There may be some, you know, little adjustments. Overall, I think, you stay within what you're doing and what you can do. I don't think there's too much of a change. But there is little adjustments you make with each pitcher, of course.
Yeah, my concern is we've been relying on this home run all year long. And, you know, in the postseason for years and decades, we've heard about, hey, postseason shows up, you got to scratch and claw for every run. So small ball's huge. And we just haven't seemed to be built that way this season, relying on all those home runs to get it done.
Well, I think it's a trend in baseball, Buck, that is really tricky. And that's why I think the teams that advance will do it's really a conundrum. The trend in the game is not to worry about strikeouts and going for the home run, et cetera, not a lot of hit and run, no bunts, you know, steals, et cetera. But that is exactly the problem when you get into the postseason. You do have to scratch and claw. You got to do things differently, and that's why I never liked the Yankees in postseason play. I'm not saying that just because they lost the other night, but there's just way too many strikeouts with the Yankees, and so, you know, I think the trend will be eventually to go back a little bit, you know, towards manufacturing runs, because you got to do it in the playoffs to a certain extent. Although, you know, if you're playing teams that are following the same trend, I guess maybe it'll be even up. But that is one of the challenges, Buck, because pitching gets better, obviously, in the postseason. That's why these teams are there. They can pitch to your weakness. That is a hard thing to switch on and off, Buck. That is a real hard thing to do. If you're built one way, it is hard all of a sudden to play small ball. But it is an advantage in postseason if you can do it off, if you can pull it off, because, you know, you get a guy on third with less than one out, and, you know, all teams are striking out a lot. And, you know, that one run you can score with a ground ball to second base, but, you know, there's just not as much contact, as in the old days. And I'm not saying the old days were better, because they're looking at math. You know, that's all they're doing is, that, yeah. You know, all the clubs are looking at math and saying our odds are better to win if, you know, we play this way. So, but in the playoffs, it becomes, everything's under a microscope, and that small ball does become important.
Murph, as you know, I grew up in Georgia and a lifelong Braves fan. And coming out of the University of Georgia in 1982, I got drafted by the Expos, signed, and when played my first half season in pro ball. And 1982 was special. This was your opportunity to get in the postseason, took on the Cardinals in the NLCS that season. I believe that was your first most valuable player season right there, 1982. Take us back to that postseason series against the Cardinals. Am I remembering right, Niekro, didn't he start game one? You played a couple innings, the rain fell, they canceled, wiped out the game, and you had to come back and start all over without Niekro getting the start.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that you know, us as players will remember, and fans too. I run into a lot of fans, they say that first game, you know. Buck, I'd have to look. We did have a one, you know, Nuxie won 17 games that year. George Hendrick did not never played against. He told Whitey Herzog, you know, if Negro's pitching, I'm not playing because it'll put me in a slump for 2 weeks. We had an advantage with Nuxie going, even though we're in St. Louis. And we had a 1-0 lead, and I'd have to look, Buck. I think it, we might have played. I think we might have finished the top of the fifth.
Yeah.
So, you know, I knew. I think you got to look at it. They're not going to. We're not going to play a 5-inning game in the playoffs. But and how long are you going to wait? Are you going to wait an hour and a half, 2 hours? It would have been nice. I think no matter how long we waited in the delay, Nuxie could have come out and finished. But that was a downer for us, no question. I mean, we got swept. We got beat, you know, the next night. Well, we got beat three in a row after that. But you know, we finished the season sputtering a little bit. You know, we lost on the last day, avoided. And so did the Dodgers, so we avoided a one-game playoff. So we were, you know, kind of limping a little bit going into the playoffs. And Cardinals just took advantage of that and swept us and went on to win the World Series.
We're thinking a lot about Negro this year with Phil passing away recently. The Braves have honored him during the course of the year. What kind of teammate was he? He seems like a great guy to play with.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the best, Buck. And miss him so much. He just... you know, as soon as I made the team as a rookie, you know, I'm looking at Phil and how he handles everything. And I've always said that I said to myself that, you know, that's the way you're supposed to act. That's what you're supposed to be. Incredible loyalty, Buck. We got to remember the Braves released him. And you know, he went on to win 300 games. And signed with the Yankees, et cetera. But, you know, if I'd have gotten released and I still thought I could play, man, I would have been a little upset. But he was a Brave. He wanted to come back, sign a one-day contract, put on a Brave uniform. He loved the Braves, so loyal. But he was just a great teammate. And, you know, he went out there when he wasn't feeling good, you know, a little few aches and pains here and there, but always took the ball. And he's just a gamer, great guy to play with, a great teammate.
Murph, I know you're busy. Thanks for making the show better today. We appreciate you, man.
Oh, thanks, Buck. And nice going on the show. Congratulations. And love to be on with you. Have me on at any time.
Hey, thanks so much, Dale.
All right, Buck.
There he goes, Dale Murphy. Murph, just an honor getting him on the show. Nerns, what do you say we do a little college football right now?
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
All right, reading the tea leaves, looks like JT Daniels probably not a go against the Auburn Tigers. Coming up tomorrow at Jordan-Hare. I mean, Stetson Bennett will start this game most likely. This isn't the only position group that's got some problems going on. How about the Georgia wide receiver group? Depleted. Last week against Arkansas, Jermaine Burton, now he's a starter, started the ball game, but we're in a 3-wide receiver base offensive scheme. So who are the other two? Ad Mitchell, a freshman, and Ladd McConkie coming out of nowhere.
He got hit hard last week. I was afraid he was going to be out too.
Boy, he is quick, though. He's tough. I like me some Ladd McConkie, but not as a starter. So you got two guys that really shouldn't have been starting last week. Kyaris Jackson continues to try to come back from that knee. Rosemary Jack Saint had the ankle. Arian Smith with the shin. Justin Robinson got into the game a little bit, but had a couple of drops. So with a 3-wide receiver base offensive set, you need like 6-7 receivers to roll in and out of the game. I'm not so sure we got that. So the plan versus Auburn, I would imagine, if Stetson is the guy, is George is going to line up and try to run the football. Well, Auburn's defense plays the run tough. And they're going to crowd the box with Bennett as the quarterback. They're going to put 7-8 guys up around the line of scrimmage, crowding the box, loading up against this Georgia run game. And Bulldog fans, I feel your pain. We're right back where we were because of the injuries to JT and these wide receivers. I mean, we've taken a step back with this. We're going to lead with the passing game. We've fallen back into the ground and pound run first offense.
At least Darnell's back.
Who?
Darnell Washington.
Yeah, well, that helps you run the football.
He was blocking really well last weekend.
Well, all this talk during the offseason about leading with the passing game. And, well, because of the injuries, we're just not going to see that materialize. And there's your college football nugget. Now to the Falcons. Arthur Smith and the Falcons loading up, and they're flying to London to take on the lousy Jets. And it looks like lead receiver Calvin Ridley will not be making the trip because of a personal matter, which leaves us to guess. Everybody wants to know, so what's the personal matter? Well, it's personal, but I have a couple of guesses. I mean, for an NFL player to miss an NFL game, there's got to be something close to the heart, right? I mean, do you have a baby due? Is your mama sick? I can't come up with anything else. Nerney, you got another guess for me here?
I'm surprised more of these guys don't come up with, and by the way, I hope everything is all well with Calvin Ridley and his family and everything, but I'm surprised more NFL guys, as the trip overseas to London comes up, that game comes up, more guys don't come up with a reason not to get on that plane for 10 and a half hours or whatever that flight is.
What a hassle. Yeah, I heard that.
We're sending the best over there, though, man. It's going to be a great, great entertaining matchup for the people of London.
Yeah, the Falcons and Jets. By the way, I guess with Ridley not in there, we now just going to line up and try to run it? And we've got a receiver that is a running – the Falcons are playing at running back. This talk about dysfunctional. I mean, my goodness.
He helped me on fantasy. He's a good pickup.
Well,
he's been the best. He's been the best player on our team. I mean, nobody would have guessed that. But Cordell Patterson, nobody's been more consistent since the season started than him. And
he's like a Swiss Army knife,
right? And I think this is the week where you can, you really have to use him as that Swiss Army knife. I'm sure he's going to be lined up out wide. You'll see more of Mike Davis lining up in the backfield. Maybe Patterson's out wide and Kyle Pitts. I mean, if not this week, then I don't know when you're going to see him.
Exactly. So Kyle Pitts has got a bigger slice of the pie, right? He's going to pick up some of these targets that have been planned to go to Calvin Ridley. That's got to go to Pitts here. We got to get Pitts involved here in the offense. I believe 8 targets a week ago. Got to be double digits as far as targets to Pitts right now coming into this game. Now, can we run it? The Jets defense, they gave up, 180 yards to the Titans last week, but remember now, we're not the Titans. We don't run the ball like Nashville does. We don't have a running back like the Titans have. So what are we going to do? Can't wait to find out early Sunday morning.
I'm more nervous about our defense. I'm Starbuck. I hate to say this, and it makes me sound like a terrible Falcons fan. I'm starting two New York Jets players on my fantasy team this week.
Oh, Lord.
I don't have a whole lot of faith in
the
company.
That's no fun at all.
I think that Zach Wilson may be the first rookie quarterback to ever win in London.
Oh, well. Hoping for the best. That's what we're doing as Falcons fans. Hoping
positive
for the best. Mm. And Arthur Smith, the first impression has not been an impressive one. I'm just saying. Hey, earlier this week, I had a chance to catch up with an old friend working with CBS Sports now. You see him doing that CBS pre- and post-game show up in New York. Rick Neuheisel hanging out with us here, CBS Sports college football analyst. He's got the call on the Georgia-Auburn game, and that is in the Bulldog Roundtable today.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, first down, like 15-10-5. Get in there! Touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Online at gapackandload.com. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Joining us now, CBS Sports college football analyst Rick Neuheisel. He's on the call of the Georgia-Auburn game. Should be an electric atmosphere at Jordan-Hare, Rick. It's important for Georgia as the visiting team to get off to a solid start, quiet that crowd down a little bit.
Nobody knows that better than you, Buck. Actually, let me be the host and you be the interviewee here, and let me ask you exactly what it's like to play as the visiting team in Jordan-Hare.
Well, there's nothing really like seeing that eagle fly around the inside of Jordan-Hare. Boy, that crowd goes crazy. And then you better get off to a good start because you don't want to get those guys believing they can pull off the upset.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's probably the same thing. I'm going to be with Aaron Murray on this call. He'll have the same kind of memories of this obviously the oldest rivalry in the Deep South. I mean, it's a monster game. I am really excited to be a part of it and hopefully deliver a good call from a coach's perspective. We've got all the perspective we need from Aaron in terms of what it means to be in this game. So it'll be a fun atmosphere. I think if you're looking at what's the key to the game, Georgia's defense obviously has been absolutely off the charts. I mean, their scoring numbers are ridiculous. We haven't had a team finish the season giving up less than double digits since 2011, when it was Alabama who I think gave up in the 8.8 or something like that. Georgia's, you know, half of that right now. It's ridiculous. But for this game to be competitive in the fourth quarter for Auburn, they are going to have to make Georgia's offense beat them.
Who are you expecting to see at quarterback for Georgia?
Well, I think probably Stetson Bennett. I think JT Daniels, their hope, and I'm just thinking out loud, their hope is to give him as much rest, because every time you tweak that muscle, you're starting over again. And I think their hope is that they can give him rest, you know, get through this game and have him for Kentucky. And if he's still not right, then you get another bye week before the Florida game. Obviously, as the defense continues to play so well, it isn't as necessary. Heck, I think Stetson Bennett had 70-some-odd yards passing last week against Arkansas, and no one noticed. He's 7 for 11 because it wasn't necessary. I don't know that that can be the case for the rest of the season, but if you can keep that defense in that harassing mood, then you have a little bit of luxury to give JT more rest time.
Rick, I know you've noticed this Auburn defense playing really tough run defense, held Penn State down to 84 yards, stoned LSU. Gosh, I think they had about 33 yards rushing. Can this Dogs offensive line, are they good enough to create some running lanes?
They were dominant last week against the Arkansas front. Now, Arkansas plays a different style and scheme than Auburn does. They were just playing with three front guys and, you know, letting that next level of defender, that three-four look, that next level of defender kind of fall into the gaps that were left. But they were getting pushed around. This Auburn front was definitely up to the challenge against LSU, who doesn't really try to run the ball, but was held to 22 yards rushing. And I'm not sure yet. I can't wait to get to Auburn and ask the question about Owen Papo's availability. But when he and McLean are both available at linebacker, you're right. Auburn can flat do damage as a run defense. And if that's the case, then all of a sudden there becomes a little bit more intrigue as to who's the quarterback for Georgia.
Rick, how do you rate Georgia's passing attack with JT and without JT?
Well, right now it's basically, you know, take some easy shots. They have become a zone and zone read team with some, you know, opportunities to throw, much like Jake Fromm had opportunities to throw. When you get a green light from the coordinator, Todd Monken, when you get a fade throw into the boundary that you like the matchup, you get a green light when the box is heavy to throw out into the flat or throw out into a swing pattern so that you, because it's part of the run pass option that goes along with that particular call. And then when necessary, you take a shot down the field just to kind of keep puncturing the defense and remind them that you can. And then you got third down offense. Right now, they are not anywhere close to what, you know, we're seeing in other high-octane offenses. And that's the question that's going to continue to be the question for Kirby Smart as the head coach until they prove that they can win the championship otherwise.
You see this week, Kirby's not calling his defense elite. until they can start forcing more turnovers. The best unit you've seen, obviously, though.
Well, they're so tied together. I call it the dog dance team. I mean, they know where their help is. And when you watch them play, and it doesn't matter, you know, which guys you're watching, because there's so many. They're like hockey shifts that go in there, right? When you watch these guys play, they know exactly which shoulder to take the blocks on. They know exactly where their teammate is. They stay square to the line of scrimmage until they get that green light that says sick 'em, and it's why it's so appropriate they're the Georgia Bulldogs, because they are playing like that. But Smith, Davis, Wyatt, Walker, Dean, Anderson, I mean, Stackhouse, Kendall, Beal, Carter, it's off the charts how many names you have to know to give proper credit to the kid that's making this play, but they don't care about who gets the credit. Maybe that's the most magical thing they've got going for them.
Compare Georgia and Alabama right now. Everybody's got Alabama 1, most everybody. Alabama 1, Georgia 2. I've got it reversed so far this year, just based on this season. How about comparing the two?
I like Alabama still in the one hole, only because I know they have an offense that can win the game as well. I was worried about Alabama's defense, and I might have been in the same category as you with Georgia ahead of them based on what I saw in the Florida game. But they atoned for that and then some against Lane Kiffin's Mississippi Reps. That to me was a absolute beautiful defensive effort. Lane Kiffin was 2 for 2 on his fourth downs and then missed the next three. They were harassing. They made plays. They tackled in space. And ultimately, when you're playing a fast tempo and hit them where they're not type of offense, you have to tackle in space, and they answered that bell. Certainly, Georgia has answered every bell known to man defensively. But I still believe, and that's why I say the key to this game in Jordan-Hare is for Auburn to make Georgia's offense beat them. And if Georgia's offense can come along for the same ride that the defense is enjoying right now, and I'm not saying they can't, they just haven't been asked to. If they can, then that sets up for one of the great football games any of us will have remembered when these two get together in Atlanta.
Rick, you're an L.A. guy, so who's the best fit at USC, head coaching?
James Franklin, I think, is the best fit. He's got enough personality that L.A. won't swallow him. He'll love it. He'll recruit beautifully. He has a chance to keep that interim head coach there in place, who was brought there because he was, and I'm talking about Dante Williams. Yeah, he was brought there as a recruiter. Dante would probably stay right there. And I just think, James has done what he came to do at Penn State. The ship has been righted. They're playing this week at the top 5 team at Iowa. If they win that game, they'll be right in the conversation with the college football playoff. And go get some new expectations. I know the tax bracket isn't exactly an advantage, but he'll like that Southern California weather.
Rick, have a great call. We appreciate your time, buddy.
Who's better than you, Buck Ballou? Who's better than you?
Great having Rick on, man. Longtime friend. Former UCLA quarterback. We didn't get into the old days, though. Just talking about this game coming up tomorrow. All right, coming up next on the show, What's Poppin' with Jordan D'Armond. We'll have the final word. Glad you're with us. Buck Ballou Show here on The Fan.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
the Buck Belue Show on the Fan, 680 and 93.7. Appreciate you joining us today. Great having Murph and Neuheisel on. Let's get you ready for a big weekend. Braves game one today. Game two tomorrow afternoon, right in the middle of the Georgia-Auburn game. Somehow we'll make it all work. Great having Jordan D. Armand in on Fridays. And, man, Nernie, she is she's doing like three jobs right now. Doing the sports blast.
You got to be able to do everything. It's harder for people to get rid of you, Buck.
Colin Murphy.
I'm a woman of many trades over here. But I'm going to give you what's popping.
Oh, you got it?
Let's find out what's popping.
All right. Well, we've got some coaches that have dug themselves into a little bit of deeper holes than they were already in.
You think?
Yeah. So let's start in the, you know, it's big weekend in college football. So earlier this week, Coach O, he always has a show on Wednesdays, and he's been known to get a little sassy with fans. He, you know, earlier in the year when they lost to UCLA, he called their jerseys sissy colors to a fan. And
they wearing them sissy colors.
Yeah, well, this week got a little bit more weird, I would say. J-Boy called into the show. He was saying that his sister was at the location of which the show was being recorded at. He said it was her 20th birthday. And
I believe she is blonde.
Yeah, that's what he said. She's a little blonde-headed girl, so don't mess with her. Orgeron didn't, you know, just walk away from the conversation. Of course not. You know, the show host tried to change the subject.
Yeah.
And then he went on to say, you know, down in the bayou, we've got a nice little fishing hole for people like that.
Yeah, we're going to stick to Cajun Mafia on this J-Boy.
Yeah. Oh, let's go.
I really have no words. Coach O should probably just keep his anger.
Yeah,
you know,
J-Boy, he's got a new show, obviously. So he's trying to make a name for himself, right? Get his name out there.
I guess.
Is this the way you want to do it?
I mean, riling up Orgeron is something that you don't want to do because I sort of believe him when he says he probably knows where a fishing hole is. Like
this
that.
Is why a lot of these coaches, they don't do that live call-in show anymore.
Yeah, it's way too off the rails, and this is one of the reasons. Now, another coach that had not so good of a week that we talked about actually last week, Buck.
Yeah, thank goodness for Urban Meyer.
Yeah, he'll take some of the heat off at Orgeron because everybody has already seen the viral video of him with the girl at the bar. And basically the girl's mom came out and said she's really worried about her daughter's mental health now. Apparently her own work
well,
is doing
a marketing job, right?
Yeah,
she just bought a house.
Just bought a house doing an internal investigation. So
Urban's wife, I saw what she said, we're all sinners.
We're all sinners. She deleted her Twitter, says she wasn't coming back.
She's got to be embarrassed.
You got to. Any picks you like before we get going?
Yeah, picks. I'm taking Oklahoma -3 over Texas.
I like that.
See, Oklahoma's won 5 of the last 6 of these matchups. Lincoln Riley's won 4 of the last 5 versus Texas. I'm going to take Spencer Rattler over Casey Thompson and the Sooner defense playing the run tough. Horns like to run it with Robinson at running back. He got 35 totes last week. I got Oklahoma winning this one 38-28. And it's time for the final word. Nobody expects our Braves to win this series against the Brewers. Well, with the exception of me and Mark DeRosa. I guess no one expected us to be here in the postseason with all these injury issues during the course of the year. Soroka, Acuna, plus we had Ozuna with that incident. Thank you, Alex Anthopoulos, for giving our team a shot to make it to the postseason and do some damage in the postseason. The Braves are here. Game one is today. Let's do some damage. That's going to do it this week for the Buck Belue Show. So happy you hung out with us this week. Remember, if you missed the show, between 10 and 11, you can catch that Buck Belue Show podcast. Jordan D. Armand and Sean Nerney, wishing you a great weekend, everybody.
Good to see you, Buck.
Thanks, Coach.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air.
deep center field and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.